This is Fresh Air. The angst-ridden cartoons of Daniel Clowes have been the basis of two feature films, Ghost World in 2001 and Art School Confidential in 2006. Now comes Wilson, which Clowes himself adapted from his book of comics about a middle-aged misanthrope played on screen by Woody Harrelson. The film also stars Laura Dern. Film critic David Edelstein has this review.
The title character in the comedy Wilson is a middle-aged and unemployed malcontent who fancies he has more integrity than everyone else. Early on, he laments the loss of community and camaraderie, but when he makes small talk in a coffee shop with a distracted guy on a laptop, he quickly turns belligerent. "Hey, I'm talking to you," he says, then uses what linguist Jeff Nunberg calls the A-word in his book, The Ascent of the A-Word. Wilson's tragedy is that his compulsion to brand everyone else that word makes him an incorrigible one himself. The question about Wilson the movie is, will you enjoy spending time with such an abrasive protagonist? I did. I was predisposed by my love of Daniel Clowes' graphic novel, a series of one-page, old-fashioned comic strips like Peanuts, the difference being the main character's foul temperament and language. Clowes wrote the screenplay and was smart enough to fill out the characters and provide a fairly strong narrative. After Wilson's father dies without ever giving his son what Wilson craves, unconditional love, Wilson discovers that the child he thought his ex-wife aborted was put up for adoption. She's 16, and Wilson wants to find her. Woody Harrelson's Wilson is larger and more physically threatening than the modestly scaled anti-hero of Clowes' comic, and he bellows lines that might work better deadpan, but he's hugely entertaining. On one hand, his Wilson is so tightly wound it's a wonder he hasn't self-immolated. On the other, Harrelson finds Wilson's essential life force, his core of childish hope. The casting stroke of genius is Laura Dern as Wilson's ex, Pippi, as in Longstocking, but don't, Wilson tells someone, ever call her that. They've been apart 17 years, and Wilson is led to believe by her stuck-up sister, played by Cheryl Hines, that she's a prostitute and an addict. She was, but when Wilson meets her again, she's a server in a nice restaurant and has control over her demons, although helplessness comes off her in waves. When she ends up sleeping beside Wilson after all that time, she's alternately wary and comfortable, as one is with any former addiction, as her relationship with him once was. In spite of her doubts, though, she finds herself succumbing to his enthusiasm when he dashes into the restaurant with a photo of their daughter.
When are you done?
Wilson, I can't.
No, I got a great surprise for you.
Excuse me. Do you think I could get this with the aioli on the side, as I requested?
Yeah, I'm so sorry. Let me take that back.
And we still haven't seen that bruschetta.
I'll get that right away.
No. Wilson, I can't wait anymore.
Look,
it's your daughter. Isn't she beautiful?
Excuse me, we have tickets to Wicked, and we...
Hey! Shut the up! Can't you see that this woman is having a profound moment?
The couple's subsequent relationship with the girl, Claire, might make you squirm. Played by Isabel Amara, she's lonely and alienated. Her emo look is armor against her peers' teasing and wealthy parents' indifference. In another kind of movie, Wilson would be disappointed with his offspring. But her lack of social skills delights him. He says he once ascribed personality to nurture rather than nature. But in Claire, he sees a chip off the old block. The director, Craig Johnson, made the melancholy 2014 brother-sister comedy The Skeleton Twins, and he might be too much of a humanist to plumb the bleakness of Daniel Clowes' worldview. But his compassion is probably what makes the movie bearable. There's a loopy grace in how Wilson is attracted to a raging woman in a pet store and then follows her out to the parking lot and rear-ends her car to keep the relationship going. There's also a fine, sad encounter with Margot Martindale as a woman who's made sardonic peace with her loneliness. Judy Greer, often saddled with dull roles, gets a chance to be dippy and funny as the woman who minds Wilson's beloved dog. That dog humanizes him, too. The end of Wilson is a little soft, but that softness is likely why this works as a movie, rather than a series of acid vignettes. Wilson doesn't have any blazing insights into himself. He doesn't transform, but his world is bigger, and so is his sense of connection. Maybe there's hope for a self-centered jerk like Wilson to evolve, if not into a wise man, then at least a holy fool.
David Edelstein is film critic for New York Magazine.